This podcast is brought to you by Raycon. Take a screen break today with Raycon wireless earbuds. Raycons offer water and sweat resistant construction and seamless Bluetooth pairing. And with 6 hours of playtime, you can unplug for a while. Get 15% off at buyraycon.com/Howie. Buyraycon.com/Howie.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
I was on the phone for 2 straight hours with Xi Jinping.
Need to use the phone.
Who are you calling?
China.
China, really?
Yeah, I'll pay for it.
What for?
What for? Tell you what for.
The fact that they have this great division between the China Sea and the mountains in the east, in the west.
We don't get moving, they're going to eat our lunch.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
China ate your lunch, Joe.
There are a few presidents who came into this job with more of a history on engaging with Chinese leadership.
China is going to eat our lunch. Come on, man.
Jerry thinks I'm overreacting, but you understand lunch.
I don't understand lunch. I don't know anything about lunch.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
844-500-4242. That is the toll-free number of the Howie Carr Show. Now, another story, local story we've been covering the last few days is the arrest of a very well-paid Massachusetts state trooper, a guy by the name of Brian Erickson. He just was promoted to sergeant recently, lives in Groveland, Massachusetts. And he was arrested on a week ago Saturday night for allegedly trying to strangle his girlfriend of 9 years. And he has been in the Rockingham County House of Correction up in New Hampshire since then. When she called 911 and the police arrived and he fled, and they turned on the blue lights and they were chasing him for a while. He was doing 80 miles an hour, and then they had his license number. They knew who he was. They called the Massachusetts State Police. They arrested him at his home in Groveland, where he lives with his wife and his 5-year-old and his 1-year-old kid. And they brought him back, and he's been in jail in the House of Correction in Rockingham County ever since, which is like 10 or 11 days now. So today they had a bail hearing for him, and he's trying to get out, obviously. And he's hired as his lawyer, Hank Brennan, who was the lawyer for Whitey Bulger. And Whitey Bulger, of course, was accused of murdering 2 young 20-something women by strangling them, murdering them. And now Brennan is defending a guy who's accused of trying to strangle his 20-something girlfriend, this meaning Sergeant Erickson. So today the hearing started. It didn't questioned a detective for the Exeter Police Department, and the hearing is going to continue tomorrow. And so the state trooper remains in jail, locked up. This will be the 11th or 12th day that he's been in jail. And it's really amazing, because all the state troopers that have been arrested over the past, there have been dozens been arrested for every kind of crime in Massachusetts, including indecent exposure at a country music concert in Foxborough a year or so ago. They were going to broom that case until we found out about it and staked it out, the Herald and Channel 5. But this is the first time we've ever had pictures of a guy. And that's because it was in New Hampshire. So they couldn't – the corrupt – court system and the corrupt police in Massachusetts couldn't cover this one up. And so this hearing was on Zoom, and Taylor Bird Dog, that we've got more pictures. We should probably post some more of those pictures, Taylor.
I posted a couple.
Oh, good, good. There. So if you want to see the pictures from the hearing today, go to HowieCarrShow.com, HowieCarrShow.com, and it's right there on the front. And this guy, Hank Brennan, who was Whitey Bulger's lawyer, he got some pictures from the courtroom artist at the trial, and he has them hanging behind him. And one of the pictures is he's interviewing Johnny Monterano, the guy I wrote the book about, Hitman. And he questioned, of course, he questioned him about how much money Johnny Modorano made off the book. So I guess that's one of the great memories of Hank Brennan's life, is talking about me and Modorano, basically. But I'm thrown in as an extra.
What was the name of that book?
The book was named Hitman. It was a New York Times bestseller. It's a really good book. I recommend it highly. And it's almost as good as Brothers Bulger, which is another book I recommend highly. And you can go to HowieCarshow.com and check out all my other books, but except for Hitman and Brothers Bulger. Anyway, so let's go down this list here, Taylor. I'm going to let you introduce some of this stuff. Now, the guy who's going to be talking through all this stuff is Detective Mulholland from the Exeter, New Hampshire Police Department, correct?
Yes, and these are all answers to questions to the prosecution. So we'll just start at the top. I was very surprised to learn how long this affair was going on for, almost a decade.
So based on my conversation with her, she indicated that she met him approximately 9 years ago. She indicated, I believe it was in Gloucester, Massachusetts, where they had met. They became intimate that particular night. About a year later, she reached out to him. And over the course of the following years, they were intimate at times over those years. And recently, over the last year, the relationship became more committed or deeper, and they saw each other on a regular basis.
Third-rate romance, low-rent rendezvous, your place or mine. All these country songs are coming to mind. So they had sex the first night.
Way before his first child was even born.
Right. Yeah. And again, this guy's on the Massachusetts State Police, making $186,000 a year. Okay, go ahead.
So the night in question, what are we talking, January 30th?
Saturday night.
So a week. She went out on a date, according to what she told the detective. She had gone out on a date and then had to go babysit, which she does part-time, I suppose. And then she went home. On her way home from the babysitting gig, she noticed something in her rear view.
And did she report anything happening on her way from Middleton, Massachusetts, back to her residence?
Yes. She was traveling on Interstate 95 heading north, and she observed a vehicle behind her at some distance away that she felt was following her. She indicated that she recognized the lights and felt that it was the defendant.
So she's being stalked by a member of the Massachusetts State Police.
Right, and there's some more scary stalking stuff that we get into a little bit later. But yeah, he had been following her apparently the whole night, or at least knew of her whereabouts.
Go ahead.
So after she recognized, because the car ended up passing her, and she was able to positively identify it as as Brian Erickson's vehicle, they corresponded on the phone, and he stated why he was there that evening, according to the victim.
He was. She relayed to me that he was upset that she had gone on this date earlier, and that, again, that he was indicating to her that he believed that she had sex with that individual, and he indicated that he was going to then go have sex with another female, which upset her. She did not want him to have sex with somebody else, and she indicated that, you know, ultimately that he should come over, and that's how, and he agreed to come over, and he showed up at her residence.
He was not going to have sex with his wife, though, right? Is that the inference that we're supposed to draw? It was going to be a third woman.
That wasn't made clear, but that would be my assumption.
Okay, go ahead.
So she got home, and she was about to step into the shower when he came through the door.
Once she arrived at home, shortly thereafter, the defendant arrived. She was about to get in the shower. She had a towel around her. The defendant came in. She tried to get her phone while they were in the bedroom. He wouldn't allow her to get to the phone, at which point he grabbed her wrist, twisted it, and took her down onto the bed. And essentially this struggle, this altercation appeared to be all over the phone.
all over the phone because you didn't want to make the call, obviously.
Right, and he describes that in a little bit more detail, him grabbing her wrist.
She went to get the phone from him. He didn't allow her to do that. She indicated to me that she pushed his chest. When she did that, he grabbed her wrist and essentially then twisted her and put her on top of the bed.
And then he went all Whitey Bulger. This must have really impressed Hank Brennan. This must have brought back memories to Hank Brennan when he heard this.
Right,
next,
we'll get. I actually labeled these wrong, Howie, so don't pay any attention to the order that they're in. I've got the correct order up here.
Oh, okay.
So we'll get to that. But Detective Mulholland does explain that the tactics that Brian Erickson is alleged to have been using that night, as far as controlling her, are trained motions.
So certainly, if you want to, or trained, if you want to control somebody, certainly the first item on a person's body that you're going to grab would be their hand or their arm to control them, typically in order to handcuff them.
So he was using the techniques that he used at the State Police Academy to abuse his girlfriend.
As they first claimed at his initial hearing.
Go ahead.
All right. So she tried to fight back or at least get off the bed, but she was not able to because of Erickson.
Did she remain on the bed the entire time?
No, she described this this struggle between the two of them as she continued to try to get her phone from him. She described, between 5 and 6 times that he would put her on the bed or she would end up on the floor. During the struggle.
All right. 844-500-4242. We'll be right back with more of this when we come back. This, again, this is the bail hearing for the Massachusetts State Police Office. Has Charlie Parker said anything about this?
No, he's not been asked about this at all.
No, I guess... Wasn't his son accused of groping a woman on a flight and then the state police didn't do anything about it? I remember that now. Yeah. Okay. February is recognized as American Heart Month, but talking about supporting heart health isn't enough. Nearly half of all U.S. adults have heart health concerns. My mother died of a heart ailment. She was 90 years old, but still, it's something to think about. I try to stay healthy as best I can. I lost weight. I exercise. And another thing that I do every day is I take my Super Beats heart chews daily.
That's the most, the best and most pleasurable way to maintain your heart health, right?
Yes, it is. And I'm holding one in my hand. It looks like a little candy wrapped in foil, but it's delicious, like a piece of candy, but it's really good for you. Just 2 Super Beats heart chews per day give you the cardiovascular support and promote the heart-healthy energy that you need every day. Super Beats heart chews combines non-GMO beets and clinically researched grapeseed extracts shown to be twice as effective at supporting normal blood pressure than a healthy lifestyle alone. In addition to a healthy diet and exercise, supplementing your efforts with Super Beats heart chews to your daily routine is an easy decision to make to support healthy blood pressure and heart health. I love the way it tastes and I love the way it feels afterwards. I always have one in the morning when I wake up. And then during the show, I had one earlier today, and I'm going to have one right now. I'm going to go for 3 today because I feel like I need the boost. It's great, though. I love Super Beats heart chews. So does Taylor. I got him a bunch of bags back at the office in Massachusetts. They're all gone.
Down to our last bag, yeah. Supplies are running low. Send the Coast Guard.
And now when you buy a bag of Super Beats heart chews, you get a second for 50% off plus free shipping when you make your purchase at superbeatsradio.com/Howie. That's superbeatsradio.com/Howie. superbeatsradio.com/Howie. I'm Howie Carr.
If you change the station, the moon bats win. You're listening to the Howie Carr Show. There's no silencing him. They've tried.
You're not going to intimidate me. I'm entitled to my opinion.
Howie Carr.
Text
Take a screen break today with Raycon wireless earbuds. Raycons offer wire and sweat-resistant construction and seamless Bluetooth pairing. And with 6 hours of playtime, you can unplug for a while. Get 15% off at buyraycon.com/Howie, buyraycon.com/Howie. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Do you think Biden will really impose travel restrictions on Florida to stop the fun?
No, I don't think so.
27% say no.
All right, 844-500-4242. I was wrong. We don't have them up on the website yet. We'll have the pictures up tomorrow morning, but we have tweeted out some of the pictures. So if you're following me on Twitter, you can see them. And 413 says, my father's a retired Mass State Trooper, receives the former Mass State Trooper's newsletter. Not a word about any of these scandals. He just laughs and shakes his head. They need a bigger newsletter. If they were covering all of the state police newsletters. Okay, let's go back to it.
All right, we left her. She was on the bed. She tried to get up multiple times. Erickson was keeping her down, according to her statement to police. And she was trying to get to her phone, which they didn't identify where it was, but it was either in Erickson's possession or somewhere behind him.
She indicated that she was able to get around him at least three times. Two of the times she went out and picked up the phone receiver to make a phone call. The first time she indicated she was trying to call her sister. The defendant hung up the phone before the call went through. The second time she picked up the phone, she was attempting to call 911, and the defendant hit the hang up button, and the call did not go through.
The reason we're playing this is because this guy's going to try to get his job back. And if that doesn't succeed, he's going to try to get a disability pension, claiming post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD. And I want you to know, you're going to be paying for this guy for the rest of your life if he gets away with this. If his union, and former union president is also under indictment. He had an affair with a bartender as well. And was stealing money from the unions, allegedly stealing money from the unions. I mean, there's so much theft and corruption going on here in this state police organization. It's rotten from the top down, and the governor won't do anything about it because, you know, they took care of his son. They broomed the case to the U.S. Attorney's office, even though in most cases when there's a crime committed allegedly on a flight coming into Logan Airport, the state police handled it. In this case, the state police didn't handle it. And in return, for 3 years, Charlie Parker has looked the other way and let this corruption, this rampant corruption, go on with no oversight, basically. Play, what's next?
So the Detective Mulholland mentioned she made three calls. First two did not go through, but she did get the third one to go through.
During one of those times, he had picked her up, put her on his shoulder, brought her back into the bedroom and back. She indicated that she was able to get around him at least three times. The third incident that I mentioned in regards to the phone, where she again tried to call 911, she believes that she got through because shortly after the police arrived.
Keep going.
Did Ms. indicate about how long this all occurred?
The altercation occurred about 20, 25 minutes long. When she spoke with Officer Chase and Officer Sheehy, she described that he was on top of her, that he had his hand against or on her neck, and that she couldn't breathe.
Keep going.
Approximately five or six occasions, he placed his hand over her mouth, and he squeezed her jawline with his fingertips. And his fingertips were in the area of her ears. And she indicated, I questioned her on in regards, you know, how that felt. And she indicated that it was a little more difficult to breathe when he had his hand over her mouth. I asked if she could breathe better once he removed his hand, and she stated that she could.
We'll be right back, and we'll finish this up, and then we'll play some Charlie Parker cuts. He's very concerned that people are trying to get vaccinations after he scared the bleep out of people for a year. I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
844-500-4242. We're going to play some of the last sound cuts. This is the only place you're going to hear these sound cuts, I would say. I don't think anyone else has the intestinal fortitude, shall we say, to go after the state police like this. And again, it's not everybody in the state police, but I just want you to know they're going to try to broom this case like they always broom these cases. Most of the people who have who've been caught stealing money or committing other horrible crimes, they're getting huge pensions. Sometimes way over $100,000. This guy isn't going to get that because he's not old enough. But still, this is Brian Erickson, and he's accused of attacking and trying to strangle his girlfriend of 9 years on the night of January 30th, the morning of the 31st, less than two weeks ago. So let's go back to the testimony by Detective Malhalla from the Exeter, New Hampshire Police Department at the bail hearing today.
So he's going to describe for us all the different body positions that Erickson was allegedly using to keep the victim from making any phone calls.
I know at one point he was straddling her. So his body is on the top of hers, and so her back is on the floor of the bed. So that was one position. There was other times that they were standing. There were other times when they were on the floor. And then he kind of had her locked up with his legs.
And it wasn't just restraints that he tried to use, according to the victim's statements. He also inflicted pain on her.
She indicated that he had headbutted her twice, once on her forehead, on the front of her forehead, a second time on the side of her head. And she indicated that second headbutt really hurt. She indicated she was crying throughout this, but she indicated after he did that, she felt pain down the side of her face, down the side of her neck. She sat on the toilet and cried as a result.
God. And he wants to go back to work. He wants to get out and he wants to go back to work. He wants to be on the job. He wants to stop you for going 5 miles over the speed limit or having a busted out tail light. Cut 16.
During the course of this assault, did Ms. indicate any physical contact with her butt?
With her butt, yes. She indicated that at one point he grabbed and squeezed one of her butt cheeks and kind of pulled her and squeezed her butt cheek.
Did Ms. say anything when this happened?
She said it hurt, and he indicated that he didn't care.
$186,000 a year from the taxpayers of Massachusetts, and Governor Baker does nothing about this endemic corruption in the state police. He's more concerned about people trying to get a vaccination after he warned them for a year that it would kill them if they didn't get a vaccination. He stands by and does nothing here. Cut 17.
So she was able to go downstairs, able to go outside. She got into her vehicle. She backed out of the driveway, pulled forward. She indicated that she did not want to leave her phone or him in the house. So she backed up, pulled back in the driveway, and went back inside the house.
That was a mistake, although she was hysterical, obviously. Go ahead.
So at this point, they're going through some of the evidence, which includes the paperwork that she filled out when she filed this report. And these were some of the questions that were on the domestic violence report that she answered.
So to questions one and two, Ms. indicated no.
Right.
And in question three, the question, do you think she might try to kill you? Ms. indicated yes.
Correct.
Go ahead.
So let's go to question four. What did Ms. indicate to, could you read question four and what she indicated?
Does she have a gun or can she get one easily? She said yes.
And what about question five?
Has she ever tried to choke you? She said yes.
Okay. What about question six?
Has she ever forced you to have sex when you did not wish to do so? She said yes.
Then we have stalking, the next questions, yeah, right?
So, and they explain this. So on the domestic violence report, the question is there anything else that worries you about your safety? If yes, what worries you? And the officer that was filling this out for her said yes, quote, stalks me sometimes and always seems to know where I am. And so this is one of those instances that the victim told police of. This happened prior to the night of January 30th. She was out on a date, and she had seen someone outside of the window taking pictures of her.
But she had talked about being in another residence. She was with another man, and that someone had taken a photograph of her through the window from outside. And then at some point after that, the defendant sent her those two photos.
And then somebody else inside the household had noticed somebody outside of the house, had heard a noise or something, and they went out to investigate.
Someone else in the house indicated that they heard something, that perhaps they saw somebody outside, and they did locate a hat. And she indicated that she believed that hat belonged, or was a hat that she believed to be the defendant's.
And where did they find that hat?
My understanding, it was covering a light, an outside light.
Wow. He had the thing planned out, didn't he? And then this is one of the really horrible things that when he was trying to, he was just exercising his rage about this woman. Again, he's the one that's married. She's not even married. But listen to what he does. Listen to what he threatens to do to her.
Right. This is part of a string of text messages he had allegedly sent to her. And I have the screenshot here. It says, "Hey, check your Instagram. Take a peek." And he sends her father's email address to her. So she went to check her Instagram, and this is what she found.
On the night in question, he had texted her saying, "Check your Instagram," and left her father's email in the text message. When she logged into her Instagram, there was a new photo of her that she had previously sent to the defendant. And he said something to the effect of, "I'm going to tell your story."
In fact, the message says, "Bleep off, enjoy your new dude. I can't wait to tell your story," with kissy face emojis.
Ugh. And she responds something like, "Leave me alone. You're the one that's married, not me," right?
Right. The message back said, and we can't see the whole thing, but it said, "Can you stop? Leave me alone. You're a creep to know my dad's email. Like, seriously, enough is enough. Please stop. There's no reason to talk to my dad. You're the one that's married."
Ugh, we got one more cut here, and we'll play it. Let's play the last cut.
So initially, she was just wearing the towel. Shortly after they began to struggle, the towel came off. At some point, she was able to get some shirt on. When she left the residence in her vehicle, she didn't have any shoes on at the time. I believe she indicated she was able to grab a coat.
Okay, so when she left the residence, was she wearing anything under that coat or just the coat?
I believe she had a shirt on and just the coat. She didn't indicate she had pants. And when asked, she did not have shoes.
So that was it for today's hearing. And tomorrow they're going to either going to try to dust her up a little bit, I guess. That's the way I interpret it. Right, Taylor?
Yeah, the prosecutor, Hank, was getting into a little bit of the nitty gritty that was a little bit too much for air. It really got into the details of it. Wasn't very interesting, but tomorrow, I expect, will be a bit more interesting.
All right. And I know that was kind of tough stuff, but I just want you to see what's going on here. And, what's getting a total pass from the state government anyway. You know, they just don't – they're not concerned about this. Nothing's happening. It continues to go on. It just gets worse and worse and worse with the Massachusetts State Police, and they refuse to do anything about it. I wonder why, huh? I wonder why. 844-500-4242. Officer Mark says, this is where the brotherhood ends for me. He's graduated into thug territory and will only escalate if he makes bail. The fact that he fled tells me he's thinking he has nothing to lose. Do you think he's going back on the job? The union's going to be behind him 100%, getting him back on the job, back out on the highway. You know, they lost a lot of good men. They let the flasher at Foxborough, the drug dealer, Leah Gendozo. They got to get all these guys, got to get the boys in blue back on the road. I mean, again, not all state police are bad. Most of them are decent people. But, boy, there's some rotten apples in that group. It's an organized crime family, some of them. 844-500-4242. Everyone knows I love coffee, and I'm not giving it up. I've been told to limit my intake to 3 cups a day and stop by noon, but that's not happening. I've always known the coffee might keep me up from time to time, but no longer with Balance 7. You ask, what is Balance 7? Balance 7 is a clear mineral liquid you take 3 times a day to break down the acids in your body. Now I feel better and I sleep better. Balance 7 also reduces acid reflux and heartburn. I'm often asked to try products and I tend to be very skeptical of claims they make, but with Balance 7, every positive thing I was told turned out to be true. I've been taking it for more than a week now. With Balance 7, I don't feel my energy starting to flag as the day wears on. By allowing me to sleep better at night, my mental clarity is sharper than during the day. Balance 7 is a highly alkalizing concentrate that means it reduces the acids that have built up in your body over time. All you do is drink a small shot of the liquid 3 times a day and you'll feel the difference. Balance 7 is made in America of safe, all-natural ingredients and has sold more than 6 million units worldwide. If you suffer from heartburn, acid reflux, or sleep issues, give Balance 7 a try. Order the 1-month supply and put in code word Howie. You'll save $10 and get free shipping. That's Balance7, the number 7.com. Balance7.com. Code word Howie. I'm Howie Carr.
He's the maestro of microaggression. He's Howie Carr.
You gotta ask yourself a question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
The Howie Carr Show.
The governor, Charlie Parker, says he's very disturbed. He says there are disturbing reports of people trying to take advantage of companion vaccine program for people 75 or older who need rides. That's what concerns him. Is he concerned about what's going on in the state police? And again, this is just the latest thing that's going on. This is horrible. But he has nothing to say about this. Gary, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Gary.
Hey, Howie, you're doing a great job on the state police corruption, and I thank you. But do you think maybe you can ask Charlie Parker or the colonel for the sergeant's hours that he's worked the last 2 months or so? I mean, we all know the state police love overtime. And, I mean, Howie, it would be great for you to, you know, disclose that. You know, some of the stalking was done. Well, the taxpayers paid for it. And if that happened, do you think the governor would finally say something?
Not if he knows what's good for him, Gary, and what's good for his son, would he? I don't think he would.
Of course not. But Howie, you should ask for those hours. Do one of those right. Freedom of Information Acts and try to get right. That information.
I couldn't have done this. I couldn't have committed these crimes because I was doing a double overtime, federal overtime shift on the Massachusetts Turnpike, right, Gary?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
How many of them lied? How many of them lied about their overtime? You know, remember the guy that was most recently indicted? He was lying to Belmont Hill School so he could get his kids scholarships. He said, I have to work hours and put in my hours, and these people that work in the private sector, they're lying about how much they make. And this guy is making up overtime hours he didn't work. It's just
hours.
It's just
get the
amazing.
Timesheet. Get the hours that he's worked.
The timesheets, yes. 844-500-4242. Hey, one more. Let's play another cut here from Charlie Parker. Oh, by the way, have we heard from Sergeant Erickson's mother?
He's a good boy, a very good boy.
That's what I thought. Anyway, this is Charlie Parker, you know, who's very disturbed about people taking elderly citizens to the vaccination centers, even though in a lot of cases they can't even get the vaccinations when they get there, even though they've made the appointments. So Charlie Parker says they're working on building a better vaccination site after this woman in Arlington who had no money has set up a better vaccination site than the hacks at the Department of Public Health. Cut 31.
We've made a bunch of changes to the website over the course of the past 10 days. The call center continues to provide pretty solid service to people who can't use the website, who are over the age of 75. And we plan to make some adjustments to the website based on input we've gotten from a lot of different places, including from Olivia Adams.
She's the woman in Arlington who set up the site.
She was on maternity leave. A newborn baby at home, and she was able to build a better website than the hacks at the state.
It's just so predictable, isn't it? And now they're going to have to throw out 27,000 drunk driving convictions or breathalyzer tests because they fake them too, on top of the 65,000 criminal drug tests that were faked in the state police, in the state DPH labs, and the Department of Public Health. These are that's the same people who are running the whole vaccination program. I mean, at what point do you begin to clean house here? You know, this is a nightmare. 508 says, what did Baker think was going to happen with the elderly companion setup? And this guy is a management expert. You know, what did he think? He goes out every day for a year and tells people you're going to die. You have to stay in your house. You can't go to work. You can't have a job anymore. You can't visit your parents. You can't even buy a big turkey for Thanksgiving or you're going to die. And then he says the only way you can get a vaccination shot is if you bring an old person to the vaccination center. What did he think was going to happen? Does he know anything about human nature? This is just grotesque corruption. And then today they play at the impeachment trial in the Senate. They play the sound cut of him saying that the president of the United States should resign because of the riot on January 6th. I mean, this guy, obviously, he's proven it over and over again. He can't manage a one-car funeral. You know, all the dead motorcyclists up in New Hampshire because he didn't bother to pull the license of this foreign national, the people dead at the because of the compounding pharmacy in Framingham because the Department of Public Health didn't bother to regulate them, and 60 people ended up getting poisoned pharmaceutical compounds. The state police scandals, the hackerama at Massport, no planes, but no layoffs. MBTA ridership down 60, 70, 90%, no layoffs whatsoever. A bonus for the general manager, $20,000 bonus when ridership is down 90%. This is what's going on. They're still appointing hack judges. It doesn't end. 844-500-4242-413. Wasn't Parker in charge of an insurance company? What does he not know? He's going to be in charge of another insurance company, too. He may be up for a big new job. He's bailing out. He needs a parachute. I'm Howie Carr.